Good day, everyone. Welcome to the National Immigration Forum Florida Dreamers Press Call. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the program over to Kathleen Farrell. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good morning, and welcome to the National Immigration Forum Press Call. In September, the Trump administration announced an end by March 5, 2018, to Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA. A significant number of young people are already at risk of deportation, and that number will jump sharply after March 5th unless Congress passes a permanent legislative solution that addresses Dreamers in a constructive, compassionate way. We're fortunate to have on the call today Florida leaders to speak about the urgency of passing such a solution. Our first speaker is President Kent Fox, the President of the University of Florida, and then Sheriff Michael Chitwood of Volusia County will speak, and Pastor Dean and Sarah of City Church, Tallahassee. With that, let me turn to our first speaker, President Fox. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Kathleen. As the President of the University of Florida, I don't speak up on many national issues, but I do speak up when those issues are of critical importance to the future of the university and to our students and our faculty and our programs, and also to the mission of the university, which is to educate students and to provide graduates that will make a difference in the economy of our state and actually in our nation as well. One of those issues in which I have spoken up, and along with other university presidents around the nation and the state, is indeed the issue of the undocumented students that we have that are members of our student body and that are pursuing degrees here at the University of Florida. We don't take a census of how many of our students are undocumented, but we know anecdotally that there are hundreds of them. And in fact, I just had coffee with one of them last week, an individual who was brought here to the U.S. by her mother from Peru when she was a young child, and now is one of our juniors studying biochemistry, and she plans to continue to pursue a degree in a law school after she graduates. She has been a member or a participant in the DACA program and is quite concerned about her own future. These are individuals across the nation, including in the state university system here in the state of Florida, that our nation has invested in. They have attended our high schools, and now the ones that are here at the University of Florida are pursuing a degree that will enable them to make a big difference in the communities in which they will live if they're allowed to stay here in the U.S. So for those hundreds of students here at the University of Florida that are undocumented, that actually have high school degrees from high schools here in the state of Florida, each of those we are by state statute required to charge them in-state tuition, so they get the benefit just as if they were a citizen of the state of Florida. And they are indeed individuals that are some of our very, very best students, both in terms of the way they're performing in their classrooms and also their engagement with the community here at the University of Florida and their home communities across the state of Florida, and indeed have plans to stay in the United States if they're allowed and to continue to be wonderful citizens. So for us, we just firmly believe that it's important that our nation find a way for these individuals not just to stay as students here at the University of Florida and other universities, but also find a pathway to citizenship. It's in the best interest not only of those students, not only of the universities, but it's in the best interest of the state of Florida and indeed our nation. These are some of the world's very best individuals in terms of their achievements so far and also their potential. And it's for those reasons that I am just a strong supporter of finding a pathway to citizenship for these dreamers, for people like Mariana Castro, with whom I just had coffee, and literally tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of others around our nation. Thank you very much for the opportunity to share my perspective on these individuals, in particular, the impact that they can have on our state of Florida.
Thank you, President Fox. And our next speaker is Sheriff Michael Chitwood of Volusia County. Please go ahead, Sheriff.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. Volusia County is located on the east coast of Central Florida. We have a population of about 500,000 plus. Our northwest portion of the county, a place called Pearson, Florida, is the largest producer of fern in the United States of America, and as a result, we have between 10 and 20,000 documented and probably an awful lot of undocumented workers in that area to play a vital role to our economy. Talking today is my urge for Congress to pass legislation for Help the Dreamers Out, and that legislation needs to be timely, it needs to be inclusive, and it needs to be earned. You know, from a law enforcement perspective, we need an immigration process that helps law enforcement, that focuses on public safety. We want to target serious crime and criminals, and we need to protect victims and witnesses. You know, in communities with undocumented workers and with dreamers, crime occurs. We cannot drive these folks into the shadows. They need to be allowed to assimilate into society, become productive members of society, because when you talk about public safety, when you look at other countries, you look at Great Britain, for example, when they have immigrant communities who are driven away from mainstream society, and that's where the threat comes to that society now. A lot of the terrorism that you see are from people who have been excluded from mainstream society because of their immigration status, and then they turn around and lash out as opposed to becoming productive members of that society. And I think we need to cut through the rhetoric and look at the facts. Anecdotally, I have three young men that work for me in the Volusia County Sheriff's Office, the Galarza brothers. Their mom and dad came to America in 1980 illegally and worked in the fields in Pearson. Their sons attended elementary, middle, high, and colleges here in the state of Florida and are now Volusia County deputies. Eventually, their parents became United States citizens. Imagine if, under today's world, those three young men would be sent back and separated from their families. And those productive citizens that are out there protecting everyone in Volusia County would not be part of our society. So I think a solution, you know, for dreamers who have cleared the security checks, they're working and studying and contributing to our community, it just makes common sense. Not to be breaking up families. So we need Congress to act on this. From my perspective, it seems that the federal government has dropped the ball for the past 50 years with immigration, and now they want the local law enforcement to do their job. And that's not how it works. Local law enforcement's job is to protect everybody's rights. Because in Pearson, Florida, our crime rate, it's not the migrant population. It's the locals that are victimizing and burglarizing the homes of the migrant workers. So we don't see, you know, unfortunately we're not a border state, so I can't speak for that. I can only speak for what I see here. The crime issue, the crime being committed in Pearson, Florida, is committed by homegrown local Floridians in that area. So thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks very much, Sheriff. And our final speaker this morning is Pastor Dean and Sarah. Please go ahead, Pastor.
Yes, thank you. One of the most difficult things in ministry in 2018 is the presence of so many false dichotomies that make irreconcilable two things that don't need to be. An example would be having Christian compassion and trying to lead that way as a church leader and also having respect to the rule of law as an American citizen. Those two things do not need to be at odds with one another. I'm in a college town where many of our college students are confused on why this even has to become so complicated. We know it's a very complex issue, but these are their friends. These are people they went to high school with. They never even knew the language, the lingo of a dreamer. And these were just friends from school, friends from the baseball team, who now are students with them, who they continue to know. And there's a lot of fear and confusion over why Christians are even divided on this issue. I was at the March for Life recently in Washington, D.C., which is a peaceful march of pro-life people right around their anniversary of Roe versus Wade, not to get into all of that. But something happened during that march that was very intriguing to me and enlightening to me, and that was that there was a group of Dreamer protesters peacefully holding up signs advocating for what they believed in as the March for Lifers walked by. And some of us looked at each other and we said, no, we're for you. Like it's the Christian people who value life, who value human flourishing, who believe that all people are made the image of God. Like we are for you. And I think the church needs to be very clear that the dreamers should be the least people confused about who is for them. And the Christians, out of a love for neighbor and a love for Christ, are going to stand with them, because before they're anything else, the dreamers are our neighbors. And that matters deeply for us. So we believe it's unjust to punish children for offenses they did not commit. Our Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, the Southern Baptist Convention, put out a statement not long ago where we also said that we believe American borders must be secure. Those things are not at odds with one another, and a solution must be met that has deep compassion while not disrespecting the rule of law. And we believe that we should welcome dreamers of good moral character who are working hard to contribute to our country. Like, this should not be complicated. I know the process is complicated, but the idea should not be complicated for a Christian. We are people that want to love God, and we want to love our neighbor. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 comes to mind, where we're told that Christ's love compels us, that that's what actually drives us. So while we want to have secure borders, and we want to have respect for the rule of law, and we want to take all these matters very seriously, for the Christian, a love for neighbor and deep compassion and caring for justice for people that are not responsible for past mistakes that were made, those things are non-negotiables for Christians to care about. And it's sad there is some division here, but I want the dreamers who are peacefully protesting, that the last people they would want to think they need to protest in front of are people who are advocating for human dignity and human flourishing and believing that people are made in the image of God. So when it comes to our church, when we're trying to lead, we're trying to point people towards strong compassion, towards strong understanding, towards a strong awareness, that we need to be united in the fact that we believe that these people are our neighbors. They are neighbors. Those who are Christians are our brothers and sisters, and to be unashamed to advocate for them. So I'm grateful for those voices who are, to have a sheriff, to have a university president of a prestigious university on this call. To all of us be unified in that is tremendous. And I think from my angle as a local church pastor, we need to be unashamed to declare that all people are made in the image of God, and we must desperately love our neighbor and care for human flourishing. And this is a top-level issue of how that's played out in the public square and in the common life. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pastor and Sarah. Operator, would you please let media know how to queue for questions?
Certainly. At this time, if you do have a question, that will be star one. We do ask that you please limit yourself to one question initially, and if you have additional questions, to re-queue. Again, that is star one for questions. We'll pause for just a moment.
In the meantime, I want to ask President Fox, what's the mood like on campus, particularly with dreamers? Are they fearful? Are they hopeful?
It's both. It really is both. Our students are optimistic that indeed, and this is students that are dreamers as well as the broad student body, optimistic that this is a nation that really understands the important role of having people from other nations be a part of our nation, and that we'll find a way to indeed benefit from dreamers in our society. On the other hand, there is a lot of concern about the current uncertainty of indeed some of their status, because many of them are participants in DACA, and so there's a lot of concern about the near-term future.
How has the university community responded? Are students fairly supportive of the Dreamers?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. The university is known for having a very welcoming and supportive community, particularly amongst the students themselves, and the student government, the faculty, as well as the administration, has intentionally reached out and made sure that our students that are undocumented know that we're here to support them in all the ways that we can. We've created a web page with a website with support services for them, to make sure that they know that they indeed are, as the pastor said, are loved and cared about as individuals, and also that they will feel welcome. It's really important for the future of the University of Florida that the entire world knows that our nation is one that values people from other nations, and that we care about them And indeed, this is a nation that has truly benefited from people that have come here from all perspectives and all kinds of ways. And now we have this opportunity with Dreamers to benefit from them being a part of our society as well.
Thank you. Operator, would you like to, we've got a number of reporters on, would you like to remind them how to queue for questions, please?
Yes, once again, that is star one for questions.
I believe we have a question. Can we go ahead?
And that will be from Jessica Giles, the Independent Florida Alligator.
Hi, yes. I have a question for President Fox. Beyond this press call, what action have you and the university taken to advocate for students that are Dreamers?
We have reached out to our elected officials in Washington that we believe will have the opportunity, both in the past as well as the present and over the next several days, in influencing legislation that would either reinstate DACA or preferably actually find a pathway to citizenship. That's number one. The second is indeed making sure that our, what we call our student affairs office, is explicitly and is advertising their support through all the venues that they have, including the Dean of Students office. And then thirdly, I and others have worked to be very visible and make it clear that although there are differences across the society and probably even on campus, that I do have a very focused position on this and have used the opportunities I have in the press and in other venues to be vocal about this. I think it's important for our university in particular.
Thank you.
Once again, star one for further questions at this time.
Sheriff Chitwood, I'm going to take the opportunity to ask you a question since we've got you this morning.
Sure.
And can you tell me, or tell us a little bit about, have you noticed anything in terms of cooperation with the local community, any change lately?
When I first got elected and took office, one of the main things that I did was I made sure to go out and meet with the undocumented and documented workers in Pearson. And I assured them that my job is not to enforce immigration laws. If you break the law, and you're selling drugs, if you're doing burglaries, if you're doing robberies, if you're selling drugs, you can rest assured we're coming into your community just like everybody else, and we're going to make an arrest. But you do not have to fear the Volusia County Sheriff's Office knocking on your door in the middle of the night, checking your papers, or doing roadblocks to check on you, or appearing at school at dismissal times to interject in that. That's not how we're going to do things. And I think we were very well received. We were invited to churches. We've been invited to barbecues up there. I encourage my deputies to be a part of, not apart from the community, because what you discover is, you have families here. Families don't want drug dealing in their neighborhoods. That's a common theme no matter where folks come from. They don't want burglaries. They don't want robberies. We don't want domestic abuse. We want them to feel safe that they can come to us and report things to us. And from a law enforcement perspective, I try to preach to my deputies, you have to remember, the folks that are coming to our country, they don't necessarily understand what the rule of law is here. Where they come from, the police are brutal and oppressive. So American policing is different. And in the fact that our job is not to ask somebody their immigration status when they're a victim of a crime. That's not what our job is. Our job is that they should feel safe and protected. And like I said, it puts local law enforcement in a bad situation where we have to go into a community that we're sworn to protect. It's our moral and ethical obligation and enforce immigration laws. On folks that, they're here for a reason, let's sit down, have a discursive debate, and figure out a way to get them out of the shadows into mainstream society where they want to be.
Thank you. And, Operator, I believe we have another question.
That will be from Emily Mahoney with Tampa Bay Times.
Hi, yes, thank you very much. I have a question. I hope it doesn't seem unrelated, but obviously we're talking about federal immigration law right now, and but between the federal government and these kind of local law enforcement issues that we're talking about, there is a buffer there, and it's the state government. And so, and I think no one would argue with the fact that they have a role to play in this. And so I would like to know, with the controversial Sanctuary City ad that the Florida House Speaker Richard Corcoran put out last week, how that has kind of impacted the this kind of sentiment within your various communities that you represent on these issues.
Yeah, can I jump in there first, Sarah Chairwood?
Sure. Yeah,
oh,
thank you.
Emily, thanks for that question. I have to tell you, I was really taken back by that ad, because that ad is absolutely stirs racism and fear and distorts the facts. And that's what the problem is. You know, if you go through the state of Florida, you're sure you're going to find an immigrant that committed crime who was arrested and prosecuted and needs to be deported. But at the same token, I have people in my own community who were arrested 20 and 30 times for crimes of violence who were born and raised in the state of Florida. So let's look at this thing for what it is. There are criminals all over the place. You know, it doesn't matter what your immigration status is. We have people who are criminals. That's what they're wired to do. But to turn this focus on an entire group of people and paint every single immigrant who's here legally, illegal, whoever you want to put it, and say they're all criminals and need to go, that's basically, it harkens back to World War II and what Hitler did in Germany. Did we not learn, or are we going to refocus that again?
And is it okay if I ask the sheriff a quick follow-up to that?
Yes, go ahead.
Do you think that I know that ad isn't airing everywhere on TV, but it's circulating throughout the internet quite a bit, and I was just wondering if that ad would make for you, the sheriff, your job more difficult, since you are trying to kind of, like you said, generate goodwill.
It absolutely does, because unfortunately, when law enforcement shows up on a doorstep and they look at that badge represents the government, and that's what people see. So when they hear this harsh rhetoric coming out of Tallahassee or Washington, D.C., they don't deal with the Speaker of the House. They don't deal with the President. They deal with their local law enforcement who is showing up at a scene, and they view us as having those same sentiments.
And operator, we have another question.
And that will be from Zawanza Tucker, WUFT News.
Hello, good morning. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can, Mr. Tucker.
All righty. This one is directed to you, Sheriff. It's more so a question of, and of course this is respectfully me asking, but it's more so to, you know, the domestic comment that you made. It was a very good point, and it's a question that I have. How do you address, or, you know, you've addressed that a lot of these issues do not come from the immigrants, but from the, you know, from the locals within your town, and that's something that I've seen, you know, from, you know, a lot of different locations, but as well as issues that are happening on social media in regards to, you know, police brutality and a lot of the implementation of people just randomly being stopped, whether it be at, you know, checkpoints or just people coming into their homes. How do you, you know, how do you expect, or how do you plan on sort of calming that fear or putting that fear to rest that, you know, you yourself, you know, the Volusia County Sheriff, you know, that's something that you don't have to worry about, because, you know, as far as social media goes, anything that you put on the internet, we all know, spreads kind of like wildfire. So a lot of these things and a lot of these incidents are kind of seen by millions and millions of people. How do you, you know, as a local law enforcement official, you know, put that to rest and kind of get people to gain, or you get to gain their trust? How do you gain their trust, and how do you ensure that you are there to protect them? Are there different groups? Are there, you know, what are your tactics? What are your means? What are your methods? That's sort of my question.
Sure, and it's a great question. Let me start off by quoting Winston Churchill. A lie gets halfway around the world before the time of truth, the truth gets a chance to put its pants on. So anybody can put anything on social media. By the time it gets out there, you're exactly right. Millions of people have seen it, and if it's a lie, I have a heck of a time combating it. But what I want to be recognized in our community is by our daily efforts. The fact that the sheriff, the lead law enforcement officer in the county of Volusia, is taking time to go to Sunday worship services. He's taking time to show up at barbecues. He takes time to show up at school events and making sure that my deputies do the same thing. Show up. We have pop-up mom and pop restaurants that will pop up on a Friday night where some of the immigrant community will just cook. And everybody in the neighborhood knows it. And you can just drive up, and for $5, they feed you. And the food is incredible. I want my deputies popping up at those places and sitting down and breaking bread and speaking and learning about the community that you are policing. And as time has gone by, we can see that there is a trust level that's there that wasn't there prior, because we're making a concerted effort. This year, we're trying to have a deputy soccer league with the middle school so that the kids can play soccer with my deputies and see them. Hey, they got out of the patrol car, and look, they're playing soccer with us. They're talking to my mom and dad, you know, and that's the focus for, I think, for local, for county and municipal law enforcement. It has to be, you have to get into the community, and your policies have to reflect that. If you say, if you call me to your home for a domestic abuse incident or child abuse, then we can't be running your immigration status and say, well, thank you for reporting us. And by the way, now you're coming with us because of your immigration status, because now you just destroyed everything that your policy says. And our policy says quite clearly that you're not to ask the immigration status of anyone unless there's probable cause to believe that the person is here illegally. And an example of that would be, we stopped a car not too long ago. There's 2 pounds of meth in the car. Based on the tattoos of the individual, the fact that he was evasive with us, we believe that he was a gang member from South America, and that was confirmed. And then we notified federal authorities. We had the guy in custody, 2 pounds of meth. Here's what we've discovered in our investigation. Here's where he's going to be. And then they came in. They took over the investigation from there.
So if there are no more questions, operator, I think we're going to conclude today's call and thank our speakers. And we wish all of you a very good afternoon. Thank you.
And that will conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining us.